Top Headlines.
Well, Tom Brady certainly showed up last night, throwing for over 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. How good was that game? Well, it was just the 6th in NFL history, regular season or postseason, in which a quarterback threw for over 500 yards and 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. It's the first time that QB has lost while doing that. Brady on the game.
You know, we moved the ball quite a bit, too. We did a good job in the second half. First half, you know, we had a lot of yards. We just didn't have a lot of points. That came back to kind of bite us in the end.
All right, one of the more bizarre stories from last night was Malcolm Butler not playing on defense. He did play one snap. That snap came on special teams. It was just his second special team snap of the season. After the game, Butler told a handful of reporters, quote, "They gave up on me." With Matt Patricia heading to the Lions for their head coaching gig, multiple reports out now that Greg Schiano is expected to be named the Patriots' defensive coordinator. Celtics were 97-96 winners over the Blazers yesterday. Boston now off until tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. And that buzz you're feeling throughout the city of Boston today, well, that is for Truck Day for the Boston Red Sox. Yeah. Sports Up Headlines brought to you by the Injury Law Center. If you're injured, you need a team of trial attorneys who are dedicated to injury cases. Set up a free consultation at injury-center. Let's try that again. Injury-law-center.com. I'm Tim McCone on Boston's Open for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Up. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Well, McDaniel.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Frederick.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with a Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now.
Sports talk.
While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Behind Foles in the pistol, fourth and goal from
direct
the
snap,
one.
Direct snap.
Foles moves down the line, it's a direct snap to Clement, and then he tosses it to Bergen, who looks to throw. He flips it to Foles on the right side of the end zone for a touchdown. And the Eagles with a trick play.
Oh, my.
And a touchdown with 34 seconds left in the opening half.
Okay, so I wanted to hear that play for one reason, and it's something the caller brought up right before the top of the hour, the headlines from Tim McCone. One thing that Doug Peterson did right last night, and the caller brought this up, Peterson did a lot of things right. The main thing, and we say this all the time, Nick, and not to turn this into an Eagles show, but just I think this is worth mentioning since Peterson was brought up. One thing we say all the time is that you can't beat the Patriots being conservative. You can't beat the Patriots being a team that settles for field goals and a team that, you know, hopes the Patriots are going to screw up. They're not. You have to go out there and you have to beat them. And you have to be the one to make plays. And they did that on both sides of the football. You referenced earlier Brandon Graham beating Shaq Mason. That's the biggest play in the game. You know, 2 minutes left or whatever it was. And they wind up getting a big field goal from Elliott from 46 yards out, which was no gimme. I mean, they kept the foot on the gas all game long. And it starts with Peterson being aggressive on fourth down.
Yeah.
Down by the goal line. He did it again late in the game. Like, they go to Ertz on a fourth and one. They convert. Huge play. That leads to their go-ahead touchdown. They could have had a go-ahead field goal. They get a go-ahead touchdown. So, we say so many times, Bill O'Brien is a great example earlier this year. The Texans game in week 3 or 4, whatever it was. So conservative. So soft. And it's why they lost the game. They're running on 3rd and 8 and things like that, right? Last week against Doug Marrone. Conservative, or last game rather, 2 weeks ago, conservative as can be, settling for field goals, running, not going for it on fourth down. Doug Peterson, and you said this, Nick, all 2 weeks leading up to the game, Peterson's going to be aggressive. It may blow up in his face, yep, but he's going to be aggressive. He kept his pedal to the metal, foot on the gas, and finally we got an aggressive coach on the other side. You can't settle for field goals. You can't punt on fourth and short. You can't run on third and long. Peterson didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
And his players went out there and they made the plays, but he was aggressive. And that's a big reason why they won that game. If he's settling for field goals on fourth and one, or instead of that trick play to Nick Foles down by the goal line, that game's a lot different. That's a credit to him.
Absolutely. And when you walk into a game and you're as aggressive as Peterson usually is, it can go one of two ways, as you mentioned. And I've been saying it, as you said, the last couple of weeks, that those decisions that Peterson is going to make in this game, and I knew it was going to be made. The decisions were going to be made. And I was warning people all week to get ready for the Eagles to play four downs of football. Don't think you're out of the woods because it's a third and seven or longer, or it's fourth down and one, or fourth down and two, or fourth down and you're by the goal line at the end of the first half. Do not think that that is it. It's over. You don't stop this team on three downs and start to celebrate, because Peterson is aggressive. That's his main calling card as a coach and an offensive play caller. Now, those things, like you said, they could backfire. The Patriots come up with a stop on the goal line on that fourth and one play or whatever. I mean,
they're throwing to Foles. Like, I hated the decision to throw to Brady. They throw to Foles and that play doesn't happen. We're like, you idiot.
Yeah.
You're down at the goal line, you moron, and you're throwing to your quarterback. But, you know, I mean, it worked for them. They had to be aggressive, and they were. That's a big reason why they won.
Yeah, Eric Lee had no idea what to do on that play, by the way. If you look at that, he was completely lost. But the aggression from the Eagles offense, and that starts with Peterson, is exactly what it should have been last night. They did what they needed to do. They did play all 60 minutes. They were aggressive. And that's why, you know, third down stats, Pats were awful on third down. Defensively, we've talked about it. And a lot of that has to do with the Patriots not executing, as I mentioned last segment. But some of it is also the play calling by Peterson. He didn't throw his hands up when it was third and seven or third and eight. He didn't throw his hands up on third and 12 and say, all right, let's run a little safe slant route here for 5 yards on third and 12 on our first drive. No. He made play calls with the idea we're going for it. And people say this. You know, I was talking to an old boss of mine this week. He's a Philadelphia Eagles fan. He's from Philly. And he kept going back to it. And yes, it's a cliche, but he kept going to it, and he kept saying to me, you know, you got to watch out for a team that has nothing to lose. And we say that, but a lot of teams that have nothing to lose end up playing to lose against the Patriots.
So Jacksonville's a great example.
Yep.
Well, remember, Bill talked up all week before the AFC Championship game. Well, they go for it on fourth down. Look out for them on fourth down, and they never did.
Yeah.
And they were a team that had absolutely nothing to lose. You're Jacksonville, and they got conservative. So it's true. We say it all the time. Got to be aggressive to beat the Patriots. Have to be as aggressive as Bill. You got to match that aggression. And for once, a coach did it. I did not see that coming, but for once, a coach did it. Let's go to Mike in West Roxbury. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What I wanted to say really quickly was, you know, this Bill's arrogance has cost them the chance to have Chandler Jones, Jamie Collins, and obviously Malcolm Butler in there. The third time that Brady's given them the lead and a couple minutes left in the game and turned it over to Bill in the defense, and Bill's failed them. So I think maybe Bill's the one that might need to go. But overall, I think if we look, I feel like the Pats could have lost the past two Super Bowls before this one. And I think they're just the Buffalo Bills of the 90s.
Yeah, so that's asinine, Mike. I mean, one, to say Mike is gone, Bill should be gone, and two, that they're the Bills of the 90s? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
They have the rings.
This is like...
You think Jim Kelly thinks the Patriots are anything like the Bills? You moron?
The world
are you joking?
The world of extremes.
So just... Look, I love the world of extremes, but that one's too hot for me.
He had a bad night.
I can't even come close to going there. What are we doing?
He had a bad night, folks. Everybody, like, you know, the world is not burning.
The caller's right, by the way.
Philadelphia might be burning. They won.
They absolutely could have lost the last two. They didn't. They could have won the two before that. They didn't.
Yeah.
So just, I don't know, at the end of the day, what they win, what they lose. They're 5-3 in Super Bowls. That is so far away from Jim Kelly and those suck-ass Bills teams. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I don't even know if... I'm not even going to justify it.
The Bills.
They're like wacky
world. Yeah, no. The more I think about it, they are just like the Bills, actually. They're exactly like Buffalo. You know, it's a good point. Now, let me wrap my brain around that one a little bit more. Huh, yeah, no, they are just like the biggest chokers of all time. They really are when you think about it. Despite coming back from down 28-3, despite the Malcolm Butler interception, I don't know if Bill remembers that play, but I do, against Seattle.
Somebody, he said that, right? We didn't mishear it. Did we mishear it? He said that.
I don't know. Sometimes I only have listened to most people, as you would know,
Did
Nick.
Did he say that, McCone? You were listening.
Hey, he said they're the Bills of the 90s.
Yeah.
They're like the Bills in the 90s, something like that.
But did he say, like, if they lost? If they lost other Super Bowls?
Well,
I don't know.
Even if they did. I'm
just trying to make the guy sound a little bit better.
No,
I mean,
don't do that.
He's having a tough morning. It was a tough loss last night. He wakes up, probably a little foggy. These things happen. Bills of the 90s. Ay, ay, ay.
It's just like them.
That's where we're at.
just like him. Maybe that's why Butler got
this
benched.
This is what happens when they lose, Jones.
Maybe,
you
Butler,
see?
Maybe Butler forgot his helmet like Thurman Thomas, and that's why he got benched. Maybe that's what's going on. Let's go to Joseph in Plymouth. What's going on, Joseph?
Hey, Jay. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I called you back in September. You may recall that I did refer to you as AJ Jonesy and Cattle over there. Didn't you guys like that? Never heard
so you
that.
Know what?
I do remember.
You know what?
I did,
now
AJ.
That you say this, I do kind of remember it because it's kind of, you know, I kind of get douche chills when people call me AJ.
Yeah, I busted your balls for like the full show after that.
Well, listen, I'll try to be as brief as possible. But back then, I did tell you guys that that Bill was on his way to losing that locker room. Myself, he did. It was definitely divided. And it's simple. We incorporate so many new guys like he does every year to easily have his guys. Whereas this team here, the captains, the veterans, the McGurdies, are the stalwarts that remember the history. But this is all about Butler and that team, our team, that felt that their guy wasn't respected, wasn't rewarded.
So Joseph
Gilmore comes in.
So right? Jay, can I call you Jay? Let me say this. He's going to call me AJ. I'm going to call him.
I like that. What's up, Jay?
Call him Jay. I feel like we're on those terms.
Yeah.
I don't think Bill had lost the room months ago. I could be wrong about that. Here's what I do want to get into. We'll do this coming up. 617-779-0985. What I would like to get into, is he going to lose the locker room over this? Like, I don't think he had lost it previously. Pete Carroll lost the locker room over a significant decision in a Super Bowl, throwing down at the goal line, not handing off to Marshawn Lynch. Are there repercussions to this decision for Bill Belichick? Are fans still going to look at it and say, in Bill we trust? Are players going to look at it and say, in Bill we trust? Or is this one going to leave a mark? I don't think he's lost the room yet. There's the potential that he could. We'll get to that. 617-779-0985 right after the CBS Sports Minute. It is brought to you by Spiegel Scrap Metal. John Feinstein on the wait that is over for this long-suffering city.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wilson with 33 seconds and counting. Waiting on the snap. Lynch to his left, Baldwin to the left as well. Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Pass. Wilson, quick throw. And it's good. Intercepted. Intercepted. Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go in Super Bowl 49 with a four-point lead over the Seahawks.
It's got to be one of the dumbest calls offensively in Super Bowl history. You are on the one-yard line, and you have number 24, and you drop back pass. Are you kidding me?
Okay, so there's a reason we're playing that. Not just because of Malcolm Butler. In case you forgot, he's made some big plays in the Super Bowl before. I don't know if that slipped your mind. Perhaps Bill just forgot about that game, Nick.
Maybe.
Maybe that's all that happened.
You know.
He's getting up there in years.
I mean, you can easily forget winning the Super Bowl on that play.
Yeah. I mean, Bill's won so much. Maybe it all kind of just blends together, right? Like, I know that happens for a lot of Patriots fans. One Super Bowl runs into another. Maybe Bill just kind of forgot that Butler did that. Okay, he's in his mid-60s. He'd be forgiven to forget a thing like that, I would imagine. We also replay it because that's when Pete Carroll lost his locker room. And I think you've seen this year over year over year with Seattle. They've backslid, and they haven't gone right into mediocrity. But they backslid. You know, they went from winning the Super Bowl to getting back to the Super Bowl and losing in historic fashion to making the playoffs, winning a round, but not even getting back to an NFC championship game, right? Never mind a Super Bowl. They do that a couple of times. Now they're missing the playoffs entirely. And it's like players openly now are just second-guessing Pete Carroll, basically to his face. And you can trace it back to that play. When did Pete Carroll lose his locker room? When did a potential dynasty in Seattle, and maybe that's too strong, but they could have been back-to-back Super Bowl champs. So dynasty may be too strong, but when did a good, young, talented team that had a big window, a really big window, when did it fall apart? It was right there. It was right there when Zoe and everybody else was ripping into Pete Carroll, not giving Marshawn Lynch the football at the goal line. This isn't one play. It's not going to pivot on one play like that game did, Nick, but when a caller says that Bill Belichick lost the room earlier in the year, I don't necessarily agree with that. It could be true. I don't think so. They got really far if Bill lost the room early on in the year to get all the way to the Super Bowl and have a lead in the Super Bowl with 9 minutes to go. If he lost the room, then that's pretty impressive. That's impressive winning in spite of him. He may lose it going forward. you know, you sit down a player who makes plays like he did, one of the most iconic plays in the history of the Super Bowl, maybe the single biggest play in Super Bowl history. It probably was. You sit him down when he played more snaps than anyone on defense, 98% of the snaps on defense, and played more than anyone all year long on that side of the football. Players are liking posts by ex-players, Brandon Browner, Dante Hightower's liking his post on Instagram saying, yeah, why are you being selfish about this, Bill? So that has the potential to undercut Bill Belichick in his own locker room. Are guys still going to look at Bill and say, oh yeah, he's infallible. He always makes the right decision. He always puts us in the best position to win. He always does what's best for the team. That would be hard for me to rationalize today if I'm a player. I know a lot of fans are struggling with that. I guarantee you players are struggling with that.
See, the premise has to be, though, that the majority of that room, a lot of guys always agree with Belichick, and I wouldn't go that far. I think Belichick does a great job of making sure that the drama doesn't get to be a little bit too much. You know, at a certain point, you've got to cut it off. I think Belichick does a great job of cutting it off. I'm sure there are several decisions that Belichick has made over the past 18 years that players have looked at it with cross eyes and say, wait a minute, why are we doing that? The difference is they don't go out there publicly and talk about it. So I don't know if he's, to me, it's very tough to believe that he's going to, quote unquote, lose the locker room because of the decision he made last night. I think players look at the totality of the circumstances and what he's done and what he's done for their individual careers. That's the first thing. I think Bill's helped a lot of guys, including Butler. Obviously, last night, we've talked about it. I've killed him. Bad decision. We don't know what Butler did, if he did anything. Bad decision not to play him. But Butler is in that position for us to go crazy tonight or today because, you know, Bill picked him up as an undrafted free agent, helped develop the guy, and it's his natural skill, but they helped get him to where he is. So I think Bill has helped the vast majority of the players in that locker room versus doing something that would make them quit on him. I also think that we're going to see a lot of turnover this offseason. I would not be surprised if several guys in that locker room are gone.
Roster, yeah. You're talking. Not coaching. No. You're talking roster.
Well, we're going to have coaching turnover, too. You know, coordinators are going to be gone. But I do think that some of the guys will be gone out of that room. So who comes back? And really, to me, we can talk about Pete Carroll. We can talk about coaches losing their team. But ultimately, it does come down to the players. You know, if McCourty and Brady and the leaders of this team come back next year and they tell the rest of the guys to stay in line, that's what will happen. What happened in Seattle is you have almost the perfect storm. You have the coaching decision, you have injuries, and you have someone like Richard Sherman who's never afraid to talk when a microphone's in his face. A lot of that team is that way. Michael Bennett is the same kind of guy.
I mean, there's a different culture in Seattle,
right,
and a lot of that is Pete's fault. You know,
no doubt.
A lot of what's gone on there is Pete's fault. It's a different culture. I have a hard time looking at Bill the same way if I'm a player in that locker room. And I think fans are having a hard time with it. I'm struggling with it. He's the greatest coach of all time. I acknowledge that. But that is just a bit. To screw up your personnel like he did, and you and I agree that's a screw up. If Butler missed a curfew, then that's overreactionary in my opinion. And then you shouldn't have made him active and you shouldn't let him play a snap on special teams. You should have really driven the discipline home. He didn't. So Bill was wishy-washy about it. To screw up the personnel and then lose to a backup.
Yeah.
A backup. Even as well as Nick Foles played. And I was way wrong about Nick Foles. He made a million throws in that game. You still lost to a backup.
Right.
That one's going to stick with Bill. That you don't just brush that one to the side and have it roll off your back and say, oh yeah, no, he'll be fine. That one's going to stick to him. He's the greatest coach of all time, but that does not go away. It doesn't.
I agree with that, and I don't think it's going to go away. What I'm saying is the morning after is always the most emotional.
Yeah, time will help.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it's similar to Gronk. You know, what Gronk said last night, I'm not ready to sit here and say Gronk is going to retire. He's an emotional guy. All players are emotional after they just lost the biggest game of their career. Obviously, the last Super Bowl you played in is the biggest one you played in, I think. So they just lost an emotional game, especially offensive guys. You put up 33 points on the board, arguably should have had more because some of the first half play calling was strange.
Oh, they definitely could have more.
So
they had to settle for field goals. Gostkowski, we haven't even talked about him. He's out there choking on field goal's not on the extra point necessarily.
The field goal's not on him. The
Sorry,
extra point.
I have it backwards then. Sorry. The field goal's not on him when he bricks it off the upright. That's on the long snapper there from Navy, Bill's guy, Cardona. And then the extra point is on him, for sure.
So I don't look at anything that was said immediately after the game last night as serious. Like, give these guys a few weeks to settle down, to go on vacation, get their mind clear, and then come back and talk to them, and we'll see where they're at. And I feel like with Belichick, there's no doubt. That is, I think most of us, from what I see on Twitter, the calls that we've gotten, from what TNR said, I think most people here in New England are all scratching our heads, most of us, about the Butler decision last night.
It's interesting.
But with time, I think some of it will dissipate. Not completely. It will never completely dissipate, but you get the point.
Well, let's go to Mark. Mark's all hot and bothered here. He says he wants to rip into Bill Belichick. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
Fired up.
Well, I'm not saying Bill Belichick owes me an explanation. I mean, I'm not saying, I have a right to come up to him in a restaurant and say, hey, Bill, thanks. Can I join you? When he wins, he doesn't owe me an explanation, but his news conference has driven me crazy. Now, I understand this is not, what have you done for me lately kind of thing. The man has won 5 Super Bowls, and nor does it have anything to do about personality. And when you win, that's my explanation. He won the game. I mean, if it hadn't worked out versus Seattle and he said, well, I thought they seemed confused on the sidelines, well, that would have been an explanation, but they won, so there it was. But when they lose, after investing some time and a lot of emotion in this team, well, actually, since 1964, ooh. Yeah, I am that old, yeah. I mean, after investing time and emotion in this team since 1964, I don't think, if that cachet is worth anything, it's not too much to ask for maybe an answer about Malcolm Butler or any of the other strange
decisions. And Mark, I'll tell you what, the conference call has, thumbs up, Tom Morgan, has the conference call started? Still hasn't started. Okay, he was supposed to go at, again, I struggle with time zones here. He's supposed to go at 10 Central time, 11 our time.
Belichick has a vicious hangover.
Hasn't happened yet.
He got ham-boned last night.
Maybe he's just crafting an answer on Malcolm Butler to satisfy everyone, satiate everyone. If Bill wants to get the pressure off him, just answer the question. What happened with Butler? Because if it is a football decision, then the pressure's not going anywhere. The second-guessing isn't going anywhere. But if there was a real reason, disciplinary, why Bill sat him down, then Bill should throw him under the bus. And I don't know that answer is going to fly with me because you still made him active, Bill, and you still had him out there on special teams. So I don't know that that's even going to fly with me, but that'll change a lot of people back to Bill's side. People will get back on Bill's side. He just needs to give him an opportunity to do so, and I wouldn't be surprised if that happens in the conference call.
Fascinating conference call. He's going to be asked about Gronk, I'm sure. He's going to be asked about the Butler decision, and you're not doing your job, and I know guys over there in Foxborough do their job. They will ask him about his future.
Oh, they should.
And we'll see if he unequivocally answers it a little bit more, demonstrative than he did the last time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You think we're going to get something like that? I hope he's not wishy-washy.
Late long.
My goodness.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. He's all fired up. He's ready to come back. 617-779-0985. McCone with all the latest in Hub headlines. We're right back with all your thoughts.
Sports Hub headlines.
Well, as the guys just mentioned, one of the more bizarre stories from last night's Super Bowl loss was Malcolm Butler not playing on defense. He did play one snap, and that snap came on special teams. That, by the way, was pretty rare in and of itself. It was just his second special team snap of the season. After the game, Butler was asked about his playing time.
I don't know. They gave up on me. Yeah. It is what it is. It was the coach's decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me an opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
All right, with Matt Patricia heading to the Lions for their head coaching gig, there were multiple reports out this morning that Greg Schiano was expected to be named the Patriots defensive coordinator. However, Bruce Feldman just tweeting out that he's told Schiano hasn't decided whether he's leaving Ohio State yet, and Brian Flores may get promoted to defensive coordinator in New England. Schiano could have a job on the Pats staff, apparently, with Belichick, but he still hasn't quite made up his mind yet. And the Celtics were 97-96 winners over the Blazers yesterday. Boston now off until tomorrow when they take on the Raptors. Sports of Headlines brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Go to csb.com for more details. I'm Tim McConnell, Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Set. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't know. They gave up on me. Yeah. It was a coaching decision. I was just doing my job, supporting my teammates. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about the organization. Great organization. They gave me the opportunity. I don't know what it was. I guess I wasn't playing good or they didn't feel comfortable. I don't know. I could have changed that game, though.
It's Malcolm Butler. He's not Miss Cleo. He didn't sound all that happy after the game. I don't blame him. Again, I know Malcolm Butler remembers the play he made in the Super Bowl. Apparently, Bill Belichick doesn't against Seattle. Apparently, he's forgotten about that one. It is Adam Jones and Nick Cattles. We're coming up here on noon. We have all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. It's 1140 here on the East Coast. Bill Belichick was supposed to talk at 11 a.m., 10 a.m. Central Time. But apparently, there's an issue with the conference call. Like Morgan, give me a little... Give me a snippet of how the conference call is going with Bill Belichick, if you don't mind. Just a little taste of how it's going.
Well, that sounds good.
It doesn't sound great.
Bill! Oh, Bill!
It sounds like they're faxing something, is what it sounds like.
I don't know what's happening.
For those of you too young, that's what a fax machine sounds like. If you've ever heard an adult talk about a fax machine, that's what it sounds like. So that's how the conference call is going. So is Bill what now? Bill is screwing with the signals on the conference call?
He doesn't even want to
do his own conference call, so he's like, how can I cross the signals here on my own conference call so I don't have to answer questions about why I benched Bill Belichick? Is that what he's doing?
Yeah,
he's
now, you were listening to the Patriots radio broadcast.
Exactly.
Easy,
thank you.
Tomlin.
Thank you, Mike Tomlin. Like, that's exactly what he's doing.
Be worried about your perfectly crafted fro.
He's crossing the wires.
He started wearing a hat. He used to put the headset on. He used to leave that.
Who, Tomlin?
Oh, yeah. He used to leave that big dent in his fro.
He's right, though. Bill Belichick's crossing signals on his own conference call.
Yeah,
he's
like, taking
he's
my joke.
He's like screwing. He's like screwing with the radio broadcast on his own conference call.
Took my Twitter joke. Is it Belichick sabotaging his own conference call? Is the most Belichickian thing ever.
Did you say this?
Yeah, well 5-10 minutes ago, yeah.
Oh,
I know you don't pay attention to my Twitter, though.
5-10 minutes ago, McCone.
Oh, well, 5 minutes ago.
Well, excuse me. A little late on the uptake over here.
Hold on.
Pardon me. I didn't realize you had the corner, the market cornered on that joke.
Ready?
Sorry.
8 minutes ago, I cornered that.
8 minutes.
8 minutes ago, I cornered the
joke.
And by the way.
Sorry.
Can we just,
I guess I got to unmute Cattles now.
I got people just like, it's only a couple. I would say the vast majority of people are angry about what happened last night,
uh-huh.
angry about the Butler decision.
Sure.
But the people that like can't take Belichick jokes this morning or can't take like the criticism of Belichick, just walk away. Like, I'm just going to give you a little bit of advice. Like, walk away from sports radio and TV for the next couple weeks. Save yourself. If you can't laugh at anything this morning, like just...
Probably years. I mean, this one's going to stick with him. So probably years you're going to want to sit that one out. But yeah, no, I mean, go to a petting zoo. Go find yourself like a nice lollipop. Like, you know, if you can't handle it, if you can't handle the bad with the good, then you know, you're not much of a fan, quite frankly. If you can't get on Belichick today, you're not much of a fan. You just want to give them all the credit when they win, and you're bandwagon-y. That's all. If you can't hold the coach's feet to the fire for this decision, we're both still calling him the greatest coach of all time. The ultimate compliment. He's the greatest coach of all time, right? We got to give him that compliment just to criticize him. And people still can't handle that. Some. I actually think most fans have been pretty good about this. They're holding Bill accountable, which they rarely do. Now give that a couple of days before Bill either gets it out on this conference call that he's screwing with. Trademark Nick Cattles. First one to make the joke on the internet.
That's right.
Or.
First one. I didn't see anyone else make that joke.
Or he's going to have his people get the story, his side of the story out for him, and everybody will ultimately come back to Bill's side. They'll all forget they criticized him for 24 hours after the game. They'll all get back to Bill's side eventually. That's coming. Wait for that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bill's sabotaging his own conference call. People are going to move around on this, but today I think most fans have been pretty good.
Yeah.
If you can't criticize him today, then you're not a real fan. If you can't even do that, then just you live in a fantasy land, and again, go to your petting zoo, go lick your lollipop, go sit it out, okay? Because you're not, sports talk radio is not the place for you. Really being a fan is not the place for you.
The petting zoo thing, I like that. Little petting zoo.
Yeah, I'm trademarking that one. You have the market cornered on sabotaging.
That.
Yeah, sabotaging conference calls. I'm trademarking, copywriting.
I think mine's more effective,
petting
but the petting zoo's. You know.
You like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. 617-779-0985.
You notice when Jones works during the day, McCone, he dresses up a little bit. Like he's got the button up today.
Yeah,
I did.
Like a lot of time, he works at night. He's dressed
McCone.
Up like a
dress. I've always been told, dress for the job you want, McCone.
Exactly.
Dress for the job you want.
Well, I'm wearing a hoodie after last night. You know the job I want. Take Belichick's job. Right now.
Well, it's Belichick's.
I don't change my dress. Jones comes in though. He's like daytime Jones. He's got the button-up shirt.
But if they won,
wait, do you have khakis?
But if they won, If they won, would you be wearing a Patriots shirt?
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes.
No.
Don't say no.
No. Because
it'd be like a not done hat.
No.
Flying Elvis hat.
Yeah,
exactly,
it'd be like a jersey.
No. I have two Patriots hoodies, and both of them are dirty.
I'm just saying. Today you would wear it.
Two foam fingers.
Today you're going Notre Dame.
I don't know. I could have wore a Celtics hoodie. I wore this Notre Dame hoodie because I haven't worn it in a few weeks, and I like it.
I feel like if they won, it might be a different outfit.
It really wasn't that big of a decision, Jones, honestly. Like, I woke up with one eye open, picked the hoodie up, and just went with it.
You'd go dress like Brad Stevens at the podium yesterday. Not done hat, cut-off hoodie.
I thought that was good by Stevens.
617-779-0985. Tommy is in the car. What's up, Tommy?
Tommy.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
How you doing?
Good.
All right, so I just want to talk about the Super Bowl a little bit, like Malcolm Butler, but pretty much, like, you know, Belichick, like, that was a terrible decision. There was no reason why. The type of, like, offense that the Eagles are running, Malcolm Butler, like, it's his bread and butter, you know, like the undercut routes, like, that's what he does. But with the whole defense, like, not being able to, like, stop on, like, third down and stuff, it was all Butler, you know what I'm saying? Like, it started conflict. People started, like, pointing fingers or whatever it was.
I don't want to say that Butler, all of a sudden, they convert no third downs. Like, Butler has not had a great year. I love Malcolm Butler. I've been in his corner, but he hasn't had a great year.
No.
He would have been better than the trash they put out there.
Yeah.
That's all. So, like, instead of going 10 for 16, could they have gone 8 for 16 and maybe 1 for 2 on fourth down? Like, does Butler make a few more plays that change the game or help them change the game? I don't know the answer to that, but I would have liked to have found out. Instead of playing Eric Rowe as many snaps as they did, Bottomosi and Jordan Richards at all. Like, it should have been Butler over those guys. But, and if they still were as bad on third down, then at least you went down with your best guys.
Butler is not the sole reason why they lost this game. We can all agree on that.
No.
Even though Tony Mass came in here during the break trying to tell me that that's what I was saying to him. He's not the sole reason why they lost. The front seven, as we've talked about all year long.
That's a big reveal. They have it, too. Don't give away any nuclear secrets that they have at 2 o'clock. That's the show.
So when you look at this defense, this isn't like we're not reinventing the wheel here. We've seen many of these problems. The Patriots have had trouble third down defense. I think you go back to the Jets game, the Austin Seferian-Jenkins game. They were awful on third down in that game. They've had issues on third down. They've had issues with lack of playmaking in the front seven. They've had issues with defending the edge run game and certain things you do offensively, which is why I said last week, while some people, Jones, was saying, they're gonna roll through them.
Oh, I had them in a blowout.
But
I had Foles stinking. I had Peterson stinking. I definitely didn't think Blunt would do anything. Like, I had this game wrong. Who'd you pick again, Cattles? I forgot.
I picked the Patriots.
Oh, okay,
but I said it was gonna be.
I said it was gonna be
a close game. You were like blowout city.
Okay, but you picked the Pats.
Yeah, but
okay.
But I picked them 27-23. My point was that this defense.
But you picked the Pats.
Yeah, I didn't know Malcolm Butler was not going to play. My point is.
Well, me neither.
That. My point is. Yeah. Thank you. My point is that this defense they've had, I've been saying the last 2 weeks, that Nick Foles and Peterson, they could do things that would bother this defense. Now, I gave Belichick and Patricia credit and thought they would be able to address those issues, and in the second half you'd see a different game, but they didn't do anything, and Butler didn't play. But looking at this defense, it's not crazy to say, oh, wow, you know, Blake Bortles in the first half at Gillette made this defense look awful. So it wasn't crazy to think that Philadelphia could score points in that game.
Hey,
now, 41?
I thought it was crazy.
I would have said 41.
I can tell you right now, I thought it was crazy. I kind of still think it's crazy. It was a backup quarterback who threw all over you. Like, that's still embarrassing. 617-779-0985. I had no clue how that game was going, though. That is definitely true. I will continue with all your feedback next.
So, at the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom takes the snap. He's pressured. He moves up. He slips the rush. He steps to his right. He loads up. He throws deep downfield. Rock is there at the goal line. Ball is up in the air. Batted around. And it's incomplete. And the Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time in their history, are Super Bowl champions.
Had our opportunities. Never really got control of the game. Never really played on our terms. And, just didn't make enough plays when we needed to.
Any thoughts on that final play, Cattles? Hail Mary to Gronk. Actually, back it up. Any thoughts on the final drive? What'd you think of the play calling leading up to them finally going for the end zone? How'd you feel about throwing for 10 yards at a time on that final drive?
Well, I think once you, the first couple of passes, you know, it is what it is, right? You've just got to try to get yardage to get into a position. But once you get past your own 35, 40-yard line, I think you look deeper. Listen, it's tough to get on the play calling in that second half and on that final drive. However, I definitely think that there is a debate there to be had about first half play calling. I thought McDaniels tried to do way too much. Tons of misdirection.
Oh, you didn't like
and
the
trickery.
You didn't like the third and five to Brady? The 40-year-old geriatric up there running up the right sideline? You didn't like that?
I have less of a problem with that than the three run plays in a row when you're in the red zone against Philly's defense. And the final run play of those three run plays is a Brandon Cooks jet sweep. He's run that play a number of times and it's worked.
Where he almost got himself murdered.
He's run that play a number of times and it's worked. But when he usually runs that play, it's in between the 20s, right? When they do the jet sweep, it's usually Cooks or James White in front of Brady on the shotgun and that little shovel pass to him, right? But last night, that decision, I've talked about this all year, and Greg Bedard wrote about this before the season began regarding Brandon Cooks. He's not a great quote-unquote runner. And when he has the football, he doesn't do a great job of breaking tackles.
I liked the running last night. Yeah. I thought he had some good running last night with the football in his hand.
It's the obvious opening, right? But the point is, if I'm going to run that play, I'm likely going to Chris Hogan in that situation. Chris Hogan is bigger, and he's better at breaking tackles when he's a runner. And so if you're going to decide to run that play, which I disagree with again because it's a third straight run play, but if you go to that, and I understand what McDaniels is thinking. He's thinking, let's try to press the edges and let's try to put the defensive ends and linebackers in Philadelphia in a bad spot with Cooks' speed. But if you need somebody to fight for that extra yard, that's not what Cooks does. That's just not in his DNA. It's not him as a player. So I thought McDaniels made a number of calls in that first half. Now, to give him credit, I thought the second half was great. I thought he showed the brilliance. I thought when no one thought, including myself, I did not think there was a chance in hell that the Patriots would run the football last night. They not only ran the football.
Yeah, they ran it pretty well.
They ran it well.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
I give McDaniels credit for the play calling in the second half, but the first half, man, they had a lot of opportunities to put up a lot of points, and they missed out.
My only gripe, and I don't want to do a lot on this because it's not the biggest play at the end of the day, but my only gripe about, I think it was a third and five, right? When they threw to Brady, I believe it was third and five, because they went for it on fourth down the very next play, which, again, now that was odd. Now you're going for it on fourth and five after you wouldn't go for it on a fourth and one, and I know Gostkowski missed the field goal at that point, but that's not really on Gostkowski, right? That's on the snap. Belichick's guy, the Navy long snapper, who he has to have. Nice snap by the Navy long snapper. But it's like, so now you're going forward on fourth and five, but not on a fourth and one. The third and five play, I always think of the Ravens game, Nick, when the Patriots pull out trick plays. Like, I always think about that. I brought that up last week or 2 weeks ago in the aftermath of the AFC Championship game when they broke out a trick play to Deion Lewis. It's like, that Ravens game, you can't move the ball. Your team is in desperation. You got to do something. You got to break out the odd formations. You got to break out the double pass. Like, you got to pull out all the stops. You don't have to do that in the second quarter of the Super Bowl when you're moving the football. That was your best third and five play, throwing to your quarterback.
So when it comes to trick plays, this is like the ultimate hindsight thing, I think, for a lot of people. To me, was the play there?
And it's definitely was there.
Right. So it's execution. Like, I can't blame. I'm sure they've run that play in practice a million times and Brady's caught the football. So I can't blame McDaniels in that situation when the play was there.
It's now, just putting a player in a weird spot that's not used to doing it.
It is, but that's the point of a trick play. You know, like,
right, but they,
like
couldn't having, pick up, they couldn't pick up a third and five by just throwing to Gronk?
I mean, the Eagles went for it on fourth down and they threw it to Nick Foles and the play worked out. If Brady catches that football.
I don't think the Eagles needed to do that either, but I mean, you're right. It worked, and it comes down to execution. You're right about that.
I mean, I understand your overall point, which is, you know, you didn't necessarily have to do it. But to me, the play call, it was wide open. Brady catches that football, he gains another 10 yards, he gets out of bounds, they move the chains, and you move on. You know, Brady dropped it. So, if you want to question his hand, I don't know. I would imagine that if you ran that play in the Super Bowl, that is a play that you worked on a lot. and you waited for a particular look defensively to run that play. Brady dropped the football. If he catches it, people are like, wow, that was awesome trickeration by McDaniels. You got to execute the play. The play was open. The OC can only envision if the play is going to be open.
It just feels like you're too cute there. I don't get on McDaniels a ton. I really don't. I almost only criticize Bill. I try not to criticize the rest of the coaching
staff.
Was
it cute? It was absolutely cute. But the play was there to be made.
Our quarterback's 40. So let's shoehorn this into the game plan where it didn't really feel like a great spot to do it. Yeah, the play was there. 3rd and 5? One possession game in the second quarter when you're moving the football at will and you did it all night? You didn't need that play there.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I mean, I don't think you needed the play. Right? We could say both things. You don't need the play, but the play was open. So the play call, the execution, the players failed. Brady failed. He dropped the football. So the play call was there. Was it absolutely needed? No. You could have called a million other plays. But I'm sure McDaniel saw a look. I'm sure they thought, hey, 3rd down, this is what we're going to do, and we think this is going to be open. If you're 3rd and medium or 3rd and long, we're going to run this play, the element of surprise, the element of trickery, and it was open. And, you know, Brady dropped the football, Foles made the catch.
Quickly, and I don't want to steal McCone's thunder here in headlines, so.
Uh-oh.
Sorry, Tim.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Tim. Hot off the presses. We've been waiting for this conference call all morning. Nick's cracking jokes about it, sabotaging his own conference call, copyright Nick Cattles. I'm reading here from Zach Cox at Nesson. He tweets out that Belichick is effectively doubling down on what he said last night. Bill Belichick on Malcolm Butler. Quote, I respect Malcolm's competitiveness, and I'm sure he felt like he could have helped. I'm sure he felt like he could have helped.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, Bill, you look real smart after that last night, Bill. Let's take little digs at Butler. I'm sure other players felt the same way. But in the end, we had to make the decisions that were best for the football team. So I don't think he's going to throw Butler under the bus. He's going down with the ship on it was a football decision. Which, I mean, good for Bill. Get the thick skin on because the claws are out, the pitchforks are out. Fans are not happy with Bill Belichick, and they shouldn't be. 617-779-0985. We'll get you more updates from Bill Belichick and his conference call. I do want to mix in a quick thought, very quick, on the Patriots' general approach to this game. We'll do that right after the headlines from McCone.